Hide the book and pull out some pineapple because we're making some babies. I give this episode a B+. Let's get started.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
I'll stop the world and melt with you.
Welcome to the after show here for The Strain, talking season 4, episode 2, entitled The Blood Tax. I pay my taxes regularly.
Yeah.
Yeah. In blood. It
do
feels
what you
like
do.
It. It feels like it sometimes.
Right, yes, right. Definitely.
Uncle Sam takes his chunk.
Mm-hmm.
His chunk of flesh.
Yeah. Pound of flesh.
And what blood type are you guys?
I don't know, man.
I have no idea. I really don't know. But I hope I'm not B positive.
Well, let's just say I make the blind kids scream.
Ooh.
Yeah. Actually, I don't know if I'm B positive or not. But I'm going to try to be positive on this episode tonight. So, we can fade out the music. I don't think we... that was Rick's request.
Yeah, it's about a nuclear...
Stop the world,
yeah,
melt
yeah.
with you.
You know, gotta do your thing.
And tonight we're melting with Megan Vampire 08, Adam Fink, Semper Fi Comic Guy, and all the others who are going to be joining us a little later in the live chat. Thank you for watching. Again, we tape this show live Sundays at 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on AfterBuzz TV's website or at youtube.com/AfterBuzzTV. This is The Strain After Show. I'm your host, Stephen Lemieux. You can find me on Twitter at Stephen Lemieux, STPHENLEMIEUX. And I'm joined by the Dream Team, as always, my PIC from the Sleepy Hollow After Show, Rick Hong.
I'm not from Sleepy Hollow. You guys can find me on all social media at Rick Hong, RICKHONG.
And hey, guys, it's me, Michael, holding down One Youngster, which is ONEYOUNGSTA.
So if any of you watched the Sleepy Hollow after show, there's some great inside jokes for this after show in terms of Jeremy, poor Jeremy, only 1 week from retirement.
That's right.
And then Eddie, poor Eddie, he was like probably
just,
only one. But he might get rewarded.
From a raise right. or something, you know.
He'll be all right.
Yeah, he'll make it.
So yeah, this episode was The Blood Tax. We get a little bit more diving into who Sanjay Desai's character is.
Yeah.
We had Cass Anvar. Thank you to Cass for being on the show last week, giving us a few hints at what's to come. And this episode certainly does not disappoint in terms of feeding us what is kind of going on.
Yeah.
And giving some hints at what the plan could be. And babies.
Hey, do you think his cane has a sword too?
Probably.
I'd say probably. Like a silver sword so he can chop off some vampire heads or Sergoy heads.
Obviously, the master did not give him any of the white. He was in the rolling SUV, the Rolling Thunder, as the nuke went off. And he's a little bit worse for wear.
He's okay. Yeah. He's got a cool cane out of the deal.
And he's still trimming his facial hair immaculately.
Perfect.
So as long as, you could take his legs, but as long as he's got that facial hair.
Smooth.
He's all set to watch over some pregnant women. So let's talk about, first up on my list of things to talk about, let's go ahead and talk about Gus's story. So we get Gus back. Gus has hair. What do you guys think?
Dude, he doesn't have time to go get a hair, get his hair, all nice and did anymore, man. It's like nuclear holocaust, dude. His barber's probably dead, so he's got to...
He's gotta
grow it out.
Make do.
Oh, man, my barber's dead. How am I getting a fade?
Yeah. He's got to grow it out, man.
So we're introduced to his cousin, Raul, who works at the partnership building in the food resources area.
Boy.
We also get this little How It's Made montage.
Sans
the really funny music from How It's Made, but we get what looks like ground beef being mixed with milk.
Yeah, it was weird. I was what is that?
Cut into little squares. It was very reminiscent of a Snowpiercer.
Yeah.
With the bugs.
With all the roaches or something. Yeah.
Put in little black cubes.
Yeah, that was just, when you see that, you're like,
Hey.
Nasty.
40 grams of protein is nothing to joke about, though.
That's right.
Fett's probably eating 50 of these things a day.
Yeah. I gotta get my protein. How am I gonna lift this rebar? Because I was like, is that ground beef and glue? I don't know.
I'm gonna tell you, it made me a little hungry.
It's like,
I was like, I could go for some Cocoa Krispies right now.
Well,
if
after
it
watching
was Cocoa
in
Krispies,
fact,
right.
I could go for a bowl of Cocoa Krispies as large as that vat. I could probably do that.
Like a huge spoon, just like
yes. I'd be totally down for that.
Man, I can only imagine Hulk Hogan was around. He'd be like, he'd be saying say your prayers and eat your vitamin bar.
Could you have that lady like the partnership is great for everyone. All you gotta do is just eat your protein bar and you're gonna be just okay.
Yeah, just Billy, got protein bar, got partnership bars. There's apparently one channel in the entire nuclear holocaust. It's playing the television show from the 60s. I forgot what the
Bob name. Newhart show.
Bob Newhart show. Okay.
60s. Was it? Like that's like 70s.
Was it 70s?
Okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
My bad. Oh yeah, it's in color.
No, there are shows just in the 60s. Crap.
Cool. So they're playing that. That's the tie-in with the television. Of course, we'll probably be seeing that a lot more. We have it on Raul's TV, we have it on Dutch's TV later on in the episode. But so he works on making freedom bars, which is confusing because we have all these veggies, but you don't see where they're going except for this pregnancy place, which only gets apples and bananas. And there's no use crying over apples and bananas.
There's some carrots in there. There's some carrots.
I guess because they want them to have the most nutrient rich diet.
I guess so.
You know, nothing but grains, nuts, berries, the freshest of fruits, if you will.
So like even the people who work there, the thing they do before they leave is donate blood. So everyone is just giving their blood left and right. There's lots of blood to give.
A whole lot.
It's not a heavy price for freedom. Mm-mm. Blood and freedom bars.
Yeah, just give a little bit of blood.
So Sanjay Desai is on the TV looking at everybody. This was a very Black Mirror moment.
Yeah.
In terms of like when they're on the bicycles in Black Mirror and they are forced to watch certain things.
Yeah. Right.
Everyone's in the waiting room giving blood, watching Sanjay Desai tell them what great American heroes they are for giving blood.
Propaganda, man. Propaganda.
Hey, no violence, no crime. Yeah, give me your blood.
That's a question. Does America exist anymore? Because the way they make it look is like
what Michael kind of missed from between this episode and the last is that to everyone in New York, California and New York are wiped off the face of the earth. So, like, because of the nuclear holocaust, everyone has written off New York completely. It's gone.
Okay.
So, like, nobody's screwing
with it. So nobody's coming to help.
Nobody's coming to help because everyone has written it off as if it's completely gone. I'm assuming it has something to do with the master controlling people in politics or something like that.
Okay.
But in terms of the rest of the world, nobody's coming to help New York. It was already an epidemic zone, and then a nuke went off. So I don't think anyone's like even...
Understood.
Yeah, you're right.
It just seems like they would try?
New York seceded from the Union. That's what happened.
But like, we're going, guys.
But even then, like, it's spread throughout the United States. Like, they're in Philadelphia. So yeah. Ephraim's group's in Philadelphia, and they're still experiencing the things. Like, nobody thinks... Like, everyone on the outside who wasn't in New York when the bomb went off thinks that New York's completely, like, completely gone.
Yeah.
So that's the propaganda. So nobody's going into New York to screw with anything because they all think it's just gone. And when the radio is only playing Bob Newhart's show, how are you going to get your news? So we meet Raul. Gus grabs him, and we find out he's his cousin. And he's not stealing from him. He's just going to reallocate some resources. Just like we reallocated Rick onto this panel.
Sure.
I mean, you're just helping.
Token Asian guy. Another show.
You're just helping. You're not.
We are the most diverse AfterBuzz panel right here.
But you're not taking from anyone. You're helping them share it. You're helping them distribute it. You know, better, if you will. You know, so they're actually helping the partnership by taking this stuff.
Yeah, you know, it's good. It's good stuff. You should help the partnership. So Gus's group comes out at night to meet the cousin. The cousin's acting sketch. We all kind of thought that he was going to betray them.
Yeah.
But I guess...
Right, yeah.
Blood is thicker than other blood.
It's through that door. And I'm just like, you failed to kind of say about the guy on top. Why don't you say, okay, there's a dude up there, but it's through that door.
Hey, guys, it's through that door that's just sufficiently lit and just looks amazing and welcoming. I honestly thought they were going to walk through there.
Oh, there's also
there
a guy on the roof. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, me too.
So Gus is going to take care of the guy on the roof, which I thought he was like going to try to be silent or taken out with him and seeing it. But no, he, like, in spectacular fashion, stabs it in the foot, like,
so
catapults
it, like a banshee.
Catapults it by its tentacle.
Yeah.
And then rips its tentacle out of its mouth and throws it on the ground.
Yeah, it kind of... Well, I know you were talking about, like, how you wish the episode started. That would have been a cool place to start the episode, too. Like, you know, seeing him... Because it's, you know, like Satrakian says, he's like, you know, you're a fighter. I know you want to... You know, steal apples and stuff, but you have other skills.
You don't need to be stealing apples.
I mean, you could take a Strigoi one-on-one, and he wasn't... It's almost like he toyed with him. Because he's like, oh, here, stab you in the foot. Hey, how's it going? Pow. Like, steal your tongue or whatever. Throw you off the bridge.
Grabbed his neck. Yeah. Like, grabbed his tentacle through his neck while it was, like, trying
It was like it was easy for him.
I will have to do an episode... We'll have to do an episode of Strigoi Logic, or the Strain Logic, on the fact that, like, worms go everywhere, but they can just use their hands and gloves and just do that without the worms going up their sleeves or anything.
Yeah, it's like, gloves immediately stop worms.
Dude, gloves are like the anti-worm. They're spermicidal gloves. Yeah. Wormicidal gloves.
Oh, man. You just spray it down,
yeah,
and then that's you don't have to worry
about
anything
like, what's
else.
That anti-liquid stuff that just makes liquid roll off?
Oh, they got, like, Rain-X or something? Yeah. like, the worms just like...
The partnership does not... Like the use of Rain-X. Please do not buy Rain-X or wear gloves.
Yeah, all you have to do is just, like, spray your coat or whatever down with Rain-X. You're golden.
So we go in there. They get in there. I'm like, okay, this whole thing is going to be a trap. But it's not a trap. It's just Mr. Eddie doing patrol. And you're like, damn, Eddie.
The poor guy.
Yeah.
It's always the security guy. Just the blue-collar guy just trying to just... Just trying to make his way in the world.
This whole episode is just a establishing act of, if you're not, like, against it, you're just going to get screwed.
Yeah.
Like, if you're just working like a normal guy, like, trying to survive, you're going to get screwed over.
True, true.
Because, like, you have to think, like, how many times during the Holocaust did, like, people who were working for the effort just get... killed for things that wasn't really their fault, but they were working for the effort, so it's not really, like, anyone else's fault. I don't know. It's kind of weird. Like, just the Jeremy dude. Like, wrong place, wrong time. Eddie dude. Wrong place, wrong time. I think wrong place, long time has killed a lot of people throughout history.
Because I thought for sure he was dead. I was like, oh, they're going to kill him. They got to kill him. And then Cream is apparently a bad shot. Because didn't Cream shoot at him, like, 7 times and missed? He didn't hit him in the arm, leg, you know, not even flesh wound. Like,
yeah, Cream's kind of crappy in there, though, right? It's
okay,
dark,
it was dark.
You know, all right, maybe,
I'll roll off. Maybe it was dark. Maybe he has, you know, he wasn't wearing his glasses or something. I don't know.
Maybe he was too focused on wearing grills.
Ooh.
But see, my thing is this. It's just like, you just, like, you know, just kind of keep reaching it out, and you just kind of slowly just go towards him. You're like, oh, it's cool, it's cool. And then you just, like, stab the guy.
Yeah.
It's like up close, just...
You know, a little prison.
That's how we do it in Hollywood.
Yeah.
That's how we get people on this after show, or off this after show. Ooh, no. No, Rick, it's cool, man. Come here. Bring it in.
Just bring it in.
Bring it in, Rick. Bring it in
this way. Ratata. Ratata. Oh, I see some Strigoi over there. Ratata.
It's like, he's dead now. It'll be okay.
So they take Raoul with them because obviously he's going to get murdered if they don't, if they just leave him there. And then back at the Gus's place, like, hey, can I use the bathroom? Yeah, there's a bucket in the bathroom. Toilet's not working. Have fun. He's like, man, I had a job. I was doing this. I gave
everything
blood.
Everything was good. I had TV.
I had purpose.
Yeah, well,
I was betraying the human race.
I had endless supply of freedom bars.
It was all good.
Endless supply of freedom bars.
Yeah.
And you know, they don't, speaking of the freedom bars, they don't have juice either. Because you know, when you give blood, they give you like cookies and juice. They give
like a fig Newton. So you don't fall over.
Yeah, you know, they don't give them any juice. There's no, I mean, you think with all the produce, they'd have a cold press somewhere. Maybe like a Strigoi Jamba juice, if you will.
No, man, you get all of the uplifting vitamins you need from Sanjay Desai's voice.
That's it. That's rewarding enough.
And his finely trimmed facial hair. That's it's all,
like,
you need.
See, I always look at the suit. I look at his, like,
that is
nice,
a well-dressed,
like,
man.
Yeah.
I feel good. I'm not weak anymore.
Guys giving blood for a well-dressed man.
Oh, boy.
Could open on that.
Yeah.
Where were you with that one, Mark? God.
ZZ Top, dude, I told you. ZZ Top.
Yeah, but it's sharp-dressed man.
I know, but I was changing the lyrics. That's what we do.
Hot.
The creatures of the night.
Ringy,
instead of the rhythm of the night.
Ringy 90998 says Cream must have been taught by stormtroopers. Oh, man, that's cold.
Man, that's
fun.
I just watched Rogue One, so that's
right. I think somebody was actually tweeting about that earlier. Somebody tweeted, like, what, is Cream a stormtrooper now?
Oh, that's cold.
Like, damn, dude. His name's freaking Cream, though.
Yeah, his name is Cream.
Like, who wants to call himself Cream?
Yeah, it's because he was all about just money. He was like stealing stuff, selling stuff. That's, you know, I mean, he killed people from time, but he had goons to do that. He never really was like the killer. He was just like, hey, go kill him. And now he has to do the killing. And he's just not as good. You know, he should have.
That's why he hired all those. But see, now it's $300 million gone. So he's got to do it himself.
That's gotta suck if you think about it. It's like, I had $300 million.
The only thing Cream is a great band. Yeah, I can't with him, because I'm like, oh my god, Cream, your pants. It's like, it's just the situation, the innuendo is just all over the place with him. Yeah. Cream's not a sure shot.
Oh boy.
He could have creamed the guy, but he didn't.
Keep him coming.
Man, he likes his coffee with cream. Mm. Ephraim's storyline, we get introduced to the word perciferously quite immediately.
She said vociferously so normally that, like, I was like, hold on. We're like in a nuclear
Surely
holocaust.
You're feeling vexed right now.
Yeah, it's like, why are you pulling out, like, the word a day, like, the word a day dictionary
she's
or something?
She's got, like,
why
a little calendar that just has words on it that she's, like, pulling from.
Like, oh, that was yesterday's word. Just wanted you to know.
Watch it be, like, a word from, like, 2 days ago, and she's like, I'm not even using it right.
Yeah.
Look, lady, we have a 4-syllable maximum in the nuclear holocaust.
And who are you trying to impress? Well, I mean, you
she
can
doesn't
see,
even know that he's the head of the CDC.
Yeah. The
bald
head
of the
CDC. But I'll say this, because Ephraim told her, you know, nobody else will tell you this. And I thought he was going to be like, he was like, you're leading them down the wrong path or whatever. But I was like, you're also pretty and you have your makeup on and everything. And the Holocaust doesn't seem to be hurting you too much. Your hair's done nice and everything. Like, that's why they're following you.
Here, I need food and supplies. Here, come over right past my makeup station. And the entire Sephora aisle.
Yeah, she has a little vanity with a mirror and everything.
The 6 boxes of MAC makeup. And then, oh wait, there's the finely trimmed beard section for the men.
the little scissors, like.
And then right past that pile of rebar, just in case we see, Fett.
Yeah. Just in case he needs to, like, restock on his rebar.
And then just avoid the the raincoat section with the gloves and the what is that stuff called?
The Rain-X.
Rain-X.
Man.
And then they're like, oh, let's get out of here. Grab the bombs.
Like, grab the bombs? Do you know how heavy these are?
Right?
Dude. Like, all right, see.
Yo, even a bag of fertilizer is heavy.
Like,
you go
this is why we don't let you do things in our group. Like, she should have said that. She should have been like, you know what? Get in the truck, because this is why we don't let you do things.
So we open up on the Ephraim story with a scene that's just completely needless, where the only thing worth mentioning is, oh, they have fertilizer bombs.
Yeah.
Which could have been a line anywhere within every other part of this episode, but oh, they have fertilizer bombs. Now let's talk about the same conversation we've had 60 other times in the series about how too many people sitting back has caused the situation. Great. I'm pretty sure season 4, we're not getting new viewers, so please just let's move on with the story. Again, back to the brother who has no fever. He asks for the food and supplies. What other reason would there be? And then the guy bangs on the door, and all hell starts going loose. They drain him, and Ephraim's like,
I
Wait
know
a second.
Exactly what's going on.
They drained him. They must have a reason. They were thirsty. I mean,
like,
no.
They said they weren't going to do that anymore.
But what do you mean?
Oh, my God. Wait. Something that the government said that they wouldn't do, they're doing? What?
Oh, boy.
What are you talking? Wait, like, they use chemical warfare? What?
Like, I can't believe that the guy was like, I didn't know they would do that. All right. You know that Strigoi are, like, literally making people give them blood so they can drink it every day, right? You know this, right? So are you expecting them to play by any type of rules? Like, at all? Like, what?
He's a Strigoi who doesn't play by the rules.
Oh, he watched the video, though, man. There were promises made in that video that was no crime, no time, or whatever.
He's on edge, Strigoi cop who doesn't play by the rules.
They
told him not to use his tentacle. He used it anyway.
Ooh.
I mean, come on. We see this happen in real life, too, right?
Well, yeah.
I mean, we see this happen with the popo.
But they said they weren't doing this. They were here to... It was a partnership.
You know,
I can't believe this.
The pregnant ladies just go to the pregnant lady living facility.
That they can't leave.
That they can't leave. They're like R. Kelly's girls.
Oh, ooh, man.
Allegedly.
Yo.
Allegedly.
Somebody,
how
okay.
How did the strain write in the R. Kelly storyline before it even happened?
This is alleged. This is super alleged, but if somebody could make a meme with R. Kelly's head on Desai's head in that picture,
it's like,
that would be hilarious.
Meanwhile, at R. Kelly's,
I mean, it would
house,
be wrong.
I wouldn't want that for Cass, though, man.
Oh, yeah.
Cass is a good dude. I wouldn't want that for him.
The
real life Desai.
Yeah. That was a stretch, but it fits pretty
oh,
good.
Oh, that would have been funny.
Nope.
I mean, wrong. It's wrong in real life, but
no
it's funny.
No other television
well.
Show has matched the themes from the Holocaust and R. Kelly so flawlessly.
Man, they timed it so well.
How did they know,
man? Yeah, right? And then they play, like, I Believe I Can Fly when, like, then, like, oh,
if
man.
They just if they just believe it.
This show, it's the worse the strain gets, the better this gets. Like, the better, like, the strain, it's, we're on like, a little, like, index.
Let's not,
like, the strain.
Let's not get cocky. Let's not say that, because I still like the show and want it, and strive for a success.
Yes. And we didn't have any Zach. So that made this automatically better.
Hey, but we had his little, like, weird, like, his pet. How did they take his pet from him?
No, that's not his
oh,
pet.
There was
they just
other ones. There's a whole bunch of bald girls.
Oh,
all
just,
over
like,
the
it
place.
Looks
yeah.
like an identical. Okay, it's okay.
Let's be honest. In the state of New York, there's lots of blind girls.
Yeah, well, they took a blind school, and then but then they all look the same bald-headed, though.
It's I like, do like the whole, like...
It's like a litter of puppies, right? I mean, just...
I am a fan of... Well, we'll get to that. You guys are jumping ahead to all the cool parts.
Sorry.
Saving them for last.
Sorry.
Rick, you really shouldn't jump ahead in the storyline, Rick. Guys, so... All right, so they take the bombs. No, let's not take the bombs because you're an idiot. You just, like, ran away, and now you want to pick up 50-pound barrels and run away.
Yes.
But they could be toilets later on. Yeah, I know. so Ephraim decides to wait, blows it up, and then walks back and is like, I'm going to shoot them and waste bullets for the hell of it. Okay, now we can leave.
But see, what's weird is
he had to be cool because he did the cool walk when he was like, pow, pow. He was like, yeah.
But, I mean, like, they're in an explosion. You'd think those things would die in an explosion, so clearly there's something wrong there.
He's the leader of the CDC who doesn't play by anybody's rules.
He's the bald head of the CDC.
He's got a bottle of tequila, and it's half empty.
It's Ephraim Goodweather. And, like, you have the, like, the James Bond circle. He's like... And then, like, but he did that to look cool in front of the lady. I can't remember.
He's lost his kid 17 times. His fuck buddy was killed 3 times.
3 times.
His wife is a bitch and dead. His son set off a nuke. He's Ephraim Goodweather, bald head of
the CDC.
I just love the line. He's like, I lost a kid too. I'm like, Ephraim, you didn't lose a kid. Your kid's a
yeah,
dick.
You didn't lose a
yeah,
kid.
Yeah, but you know what, man? When your kid does that and he causes a nuclear, he might as well be dead to you.
That's
I mean,
true.
I guess what he means by lost, like, maybe, like, you know, in Star Wars, since someone referenced Star Wars, like, Kylo was lost to the dark side. You know, like, but he wasn't, like, lost. Like, they weren't in a mall and they were holding his hand
Kylo
and they looked around like, Kylo, where you at?
Kylo
or, well,
didn't
sorry,
set
Ben,
a nuke.
Ben,
he only
where you
blew
go?
Up a few planets. Like, it's different.
Yeah,
it's different.
That blew up a whole lot of people.
You know, or it's like in Return of Jedi. It's, you know, it's a certain point of view.
Hey,
yeah,
to quote Adam Fink in the chat, it's a sad day when you can trust vampire Nazis. Are you kidding me right now?
They're struggling.
And then he also said, well, I think cream just curdled. That was a reference to our earlier conversation.
Oh, nice.
Oh, my God. Moving on. He's like, you're not going to do anything because people aren't going to tell you this, but you're wasting your time blowing up buses with people on it.
Mm-hmm.
You should just go, like, and pump poison into the, like, thing, like, ding.
Yeah.
Oh, I was a smart guy once, but
should have put a light bulb above his head.
Yeah, you can see, like, the little, it's like, boop, 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 and then the thing just kind of,
ding.
Because he stopped, he was like, hold up, I know about poisons. I'm the bald head of the CDC. Hold on, I've actually poisoned them before because I'm smart. I don't have to just run around shooting people. Not saying if you're smart, you can still shoot bad guys, but I'm just saying, like, you have higher levels. Like, you know, like Gus shouldn't be, you know, stealing apples. Gus should be beating up Strigoi, and Ephraim should not be shooting Strigoi. He should be like making like this mass cool disease for Strigoi to, like, I don't know, sniff up or try to drink and die or something. I don't know.
Hey, man. Just give him a bottle of tequila and he'll make great ideas.
It reminds me of that scene, though. It's like,
yeah,
when he's
sober. That's what it is.
When Gus is telling his cousin, he's just like, hey, man, you deserve it. Have one. He's like getting ready to eat the apple, and then that's when the one dude shows up.
Eddie's heart was so broken.
Yeah, he didn't get to have a bite of that apple, man.
He was like,
Raul,
I can't believe you.
It was like a Spanish soap opera kind of voice. He was like,
No, dude. Telenovela.
How could you be there? Telenovela, you're right.
Raul, you're breaking my heart. Man, look, see, y'all opened the Star Wars door.
He's got a chokehold, too, man. He's got a chokehold.
I hate you. You can't win, Satrakian. They've got the high ground.
Oh, man. They should have never opened this door.
Now on our episode of Handmaid's Tale, let's go ahead and break down the Dutch storyline. Hey, Dutch is back.
Oh, Miranda, you mean.
Oh, yeah, Miranda. I'm surprised no one called her out. Like, your name ain't Miranda.
Hotter name, though.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's be honest. Like, that's a sexy name, Miranda. Miranda? Like, damn, Miranda. Yeah.
I feel like, oh, Miranda. Okay, maybe.
I didn't need to see that. Mark, did you need to see that?
Guys, we're gonna fix that in post. Don't worry. It's a family show.
I don't think we need to
live,
see that,
baby.
It's a relatively family show.
Like, otherwise, family show, otherwise, right? Rick, you just seem kind of like racist. Dutch.
She was like, I'll change my name to Miranda.
Obviously, we take Dutch, which is a strong female character, and put her in a situation where she's going to make babies. But let's open it on her strapped to a chair with slurping noises. Obviously, something's going on with her vagina.
Yeah.
Hey, we're right. Something's going on with her vagina. It's a gynecologist's office. So let's go ahead and make sure we reference some pineapple again. Oh, hey, there's the pineapple.
Oh,
yep.
God.
You know, I mean, come on, dude. But she did do Fett, and then she also did Ephraim, so
yeah.
I mean, clearly, like, it was due to have a gynecological appointment.
Yeah, it was like, because you never know. I mean, you're running around, it's a post-apocalypse,
and she was with the other chick before that.
There's not a lot of condoms for safe sex around. You never know what's going to go on. You know, you got fluids plus worms going. You just want to check.
It was about time.
You just
want to
be sure.
So everyone knows, from the after show, I still have this clip from season 2.
Ooh.
When Matt Lieberman was on the show and he was prefacing the scene, making fun of the fact that they just treated a character like this, and he said,
I'm going to mouth rape you.
And that was my ringtone. That was my ringtone for a good 3 months.
I'm going to mouth rape you.
Because of the scene.
I'm trying to remember what the context.
The context was you had Eichhorst tied Dutch up in a room.
Oh, yeah.
Feeding her pineapple while at the same time telling her,
I'm going to mouth.
Like, just playing that over again is so funny. I'm sorry. It should not be funny.
Shout out to Matt Lieberman.
Yes.
Out of context, I get how this is offensive, but, like, in context, he was literally saying, like, are you seriously taking this character?
Yeah,
and tying her to a thing, telling her to eat pineapple and using your tentacle on her vagina. And now we're just entering this character for the first time we see her in the fourth season, focusing on her having a vagina.
Yeah, and it was, because I remember that scene was very, I'll give the show this, that scene was actually very suspenseful, weird, creepy, and scary for a second. Like, they really put her in a position where it was like, whoa, hold up. Is anyone going to save her? Like, are they going to kill her off? Like, because they did a good job in that scene. That clip is straight hilarious. But in this...
her legs and forceps?
Yeah, with this, with her legs up in the forceps, it was kind of like, was she pregnant? Because I was thinking, maybe Ephraim got her pregnant or something?
I mean, it does give you the shock value in learning what happened. So, I mean, I'm not criticizing the storyline that much. I just think it's hilarious that she's always the character that has to deal with this kind of messed up crap. So, we're working with this, and, all right, so we find out where she's in, like, this gynecologist's office. Mm-hmm. She's not pregnant, but she's perfectly healthy and able to become pregnant. Sanjay Desai is the one overseeing this office, and Dutch's name is Miranda. That's all we get before we get into a flashback, and it actually fills in some of the gaps. So Dutch Satrakian and this other dude, they meet with Gus, and Gus is working with Cream, so this kind of sets up for later in Gus's storyline in the episode. And then we find out Satrakian's still researching the Lumen, but mm-hmm. Gus is kind of like out of the fight. He only really wants to do a supply line. I mean, he's never really been in the fight, though, so it's kind of makes sense.
Yeah, because he trained a little bit, but he didn't really actually, I guess, get to...
He was always just used by the other masters, the Ancients.
Which I think could possibly still be alive.
So Satrakian and Dutch are heading back to their place, and it's on fire. People are being ripped out, so...
You need to save the Lumen. It can't be put on fire.
Then don't put it in like a New York Lofts thing after the apocalypse.
Why would you put it on, like, they have it on the absolute top floor too?
Yeah.
Like they put it as high as they possibly could, and that's a bad idea.
No, but like, that's where they live, and like you said, I have the higher ground. They can see all the Strigoi.
I get it, but the Lumen is bound in silver, so wouldn't that stuff melt and or be super, super hot when she tries to pick it up out of that vent?
Look, all right, Dutch has, like, she had gloves on. Okay?
She had that Fire-X. She had Rain-X and Fire-X with gloves on.
Oh, and speaking of that scene, the hallway was actually kind of scary. The way, like,
the blue,
like the dark blue and stuff. That was kind of cool, the way they set that up.
And then
she quickly dispatched. I was like, all right, Dutch still got it, a.k.a. Miranda.
And then we get our 80s action movie chase scene on the rooftops, like,
in a world with a nuclear holocaust.
And I can jump 30 feet down to the next building.
And land just
one
like this.
One girl can do a superhero landing and not hurt herself.
Like, I was expecting her to, you know, land and roll a little bit, but nah.
I was actually hoping for, like, the, you know, like the Superman, where she comes down and then, like, she... Like the Wonder Woman Superman, and she has a fist that hits the ground, and you can see, like, the concrete break. Yeah.
Miranda Dutch stars in The Book Thief.
We get the superhero landing from Dutch. We get the superhero landing from the Strigoi chasing her.
Yeah, he's kind of like a parkour kind of Strigoi. Yeah, he's like, you know, you got your blind Strigoi, you got your parkour kind of Strigoi, whenever you need, like, rooftop chasings. And you can hold it down for them.
So she chops his head off.
Easily.
I was like, she better, like, ambush it at some point, because, like, I'm not going to let this guy run away. She finally gets down, gets away, and then they catch her. Because, like, what's she going to do against four of them? Like, the bus is right there. Like,
I would have liked to see her take them on. I thought she was going to, you know, see her take those four and then run back down the alley or something. I was like, okay.
You'd think she could, though. Like, you feel like she's done that before.
Yeah,
but...
she's fought enough Strigoi to kind of... Strigoi aren't... The problem with Strigoi, the way they attack people, is because they're a hive mind. That's their, I guess, that's their biggest issue when it comes to fighting multiples. Because we've seen, of course, you know, your boy Fett fight many.
6'4".
Ooh, strapping man.
6'4".
He's fought multiple Strigoi, and they always attack in, like, this, like, easy wave. It's like, it's easy for you to defeat us because we're going to attack you, like, sort of a wave, but sort of one by one. So you're kind of cornered, but you're kind of okay at the same time.
It's like you're playing a Nintendo video game where you're like, it's like the timing. You're just, like, waiting for the timing.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, back in the old, you know, the original Nintendo, I should say.
The classic Nintendo.
8-bit type of.
So she gets on
danger.
The bus. She gets on the bus, and Satrakian's there, unfortunately. Mm. They go get taken to this place. This is so heavy on the Holocaust imagery.
Yes.
Super heavy. Loaded off the bus.
You
just see huge groups of people getting beaten, people getting tased. The big dog-like Strigoi finds Satrakian, and, like, they start attacking him with a taser. She freaks out and then gets near the blind one. And the blind one... So the blind ones are sniffing out the bloodlines.
The blind one starts crumping. It's like, what's wrong with Dutch?
Why have I been hearing that out of Zach's room for the past 3 weeks?
Oh, that's good. That's weird,
it's really
but
weird.
It's good.
Yeah. So we learn that, like, the hound-looking ones are, like, looking for specific people. They're the ones with the eyesight.
Yeah.
And then the blind girls are, ironically, not with the eyesight, but they sniff out the bloodlines of people.
Yeah.
And then there's sentries who just, like, are lookouts. And then there's, like, guards that are just big buff guard guys.
Yeah.
So there's, like, classes of SS guards. Sorry, I mean Strigoi.
Yeah, because...
One S.
I know this is... Yeah. I know this is supposed to kind of, like... reach back to, you know, just like Nazi Germany and stuff, but they're leaning hard on it. They're leaning real hard on
it. Yeah, but the book was based to do that. So, I mean, I'm not, like, saying that as a negative. What I am saying as a negative is not enough people have rated and commented on iTunes. So you guys need to go to iTunes, search The Strain AfterBuzz TV, and leave us a 5-star rating if you enjoy the show with a comment, and we'll give you a shout-out. I have not gotten any of them this year. So y'all need to step up your game. Adam Fink, you'll tweet at us.
Even with me joining, huh? Wow.
Yeah.
And wow, Rick,
Rick hasn't even done a review of his own show. You see, last one was November 2016. I'm looking at you, Adam Fink. You'll tweet us, and you'll make funny jokes in the chat, but you won't give us a rating on iTunes. Shame on you.
Didn't you have, like, the joke of, like, the day last?
He
or, like,
did.
The joke of the episode?
The white?
Yeah. Adam killed us last week, man. He really got it. I got to give him his props.
Shout out to Renji90998, who's in there. And the third turd is also in the chat. Thank you, guys. and give me shelter. I love saying these names seriously. Jovan Sanders, 21st Century. All you guys, please hit that thumbs up if you're enjoying the show. Let's move on to more of this amazing storyline. Satrakian stays. They take him away. This is kind of leading up to the scene that we saw in scenes for next week, last week, where Chad Eichhorst with Satrakian in a hospital bed saying, oh, looks like the tables have turned again. Yeah. Oh, nice to see you again. it's been a very long time, 8230385. So back in present day, she's offered pineapple. There's a lady painting a dude. Like, there's so much stuff going on that we're like, okay.
It's very weird.
It's just a really weird setting. Again, R. Kelly's house is really weird sometimes,
it's
guys.
It's strange.
She offers Rosario a chance to escape with her, and she says, no, I just want to stay here because I'm at least safe here, obviously.
But you're not really, and I know there's really people like this, but it's like, dude.
Yeah.
Get in the fridge. I know
get in the jizz fridge.
Like, get in the fridge.
You need to get in that jizz fridge.
No, at first I was thinking maybe she's just claustrophobic, but clearly that was
someone,
just,
like, someone's going to take that from me, just like your Matt Lieberman. They're going to be like, did you hear what Nerd Soul said or what Michael said? Or what? We're like, dude. Get in the fridge.
Get in the fridge.
Just be like, hey guys, look, hold on. It was on an after show.
It gets in the fridge or it gets the hose again.
So there's a dude bringing a fruit, and his name's Jeremy. And Jeremy looks like Turtle from Entourage, but we're not going to talk about that right now. But Dutch is a little flirty. Hey, you still got that jizz fridge? I love that they call it the jizz fridge. That's like a great saying.
It's nasty.
It's like sperm cooler, but jizz fridge.
Oh, man.
They're pushing the envelope, man. They're pushing the envelope.
So we learn of her escape plan is to get in the jizz fridge and get her carried out because they never check it. He's having second thoughts, and she's just like, after you sleep with me, this is what happens. And we're like, all right, this dude definitely didn't sleep with
her. He's like, what? He must really have some game.
He's like, damn, girl, if you can blackmail me, at least give it up.
Yeah, he's like,
that's what I was thinking, right?
So we find out now that B plus blood types are being chosen. They say it's because of taste, but there may be something more at play.
Yeah, it's probably something deeper than just like, oh, I love the flavor.
And this woman starts just causing a scene because one of her friends didn't get inseminated after 5 tries, so they took her away.
Disappeared.
Took her away to a new place to live where it's really nice. It's only one step. To quote Sanjay Desai, very spacious, very accommodating place, barely a downgrade. You know, if... This almost seemed like a Trump tweet. We take care of the women. Sent off, very spacious, very accommodating place.
Barely a downgrade
from this luxury. God. So Sanjay's got a limp. We learn that, okay, he didn't come out too good from that flipping Jeep. But he's like, ooh, Miranda.
I see.
3 syllables. I see you're under the 5 syllable cutoff for names. Nice to meet you.
like, I see that they have faith in you, and you have their trust.
I see you shouldn't try to use the word perciferously.
And she's like, oh, you flattered me with your lovely words. He
used a couple big words in that.
Yeah, so he wants her to become the liaison between the ward and him, basically his voice. And she's like, oh, he's the voice of your BS. And he goes off like, let's just stop BSing. These people are delusional, and quite frankly, they're really selfish. I mean, we're trying to provide all this for them.
We
and
give
they
them
just,
everything.
They just don't want to get knocked up, and they're just not happy about being forced to get knocked up. Like, come on.
Like, I mean... Who wouldn't love this?
Yeah.
I mean, we have vampires, which how long has it been? Like 2 years? 2 years ago, or maybe 2.5 years. However long it's been in the strain time. So we have these vampires, which 2.5 years ago or whatever, people didn't even know existed. But now they're here. They've got us in like Nazi New York, taking our blood, just drinking it up, you know, like it's 1999, and we're supposed to be happy about it. It's like, no, we're not gonna take it.
It's like it takes
Quiet Riot.
It takes like the Black
Oh no, Twisted Sister, sorry. Yeah.
It's just it takes the Black Rights movement hundreds of years to move forward. It takes the gay rights movement tens of decades.
Strigoi,
2 years, man. The partnership. Let's make everything equal.
It's like we've been around for 2 years. We've got it on lock.
Right.
Look, they've got it so good.
Is it because the Strigoi are white?
Yeah.
Oh, it's the white.
It's the white.
The white.
But nah, it's like.
This is a Holocaust, R. Kelly, and yeah. White privilege allegory all rolled up into one.
Because, like, it seems like the rest of the country is just like, well, New York's gone. And the Pentagon hasn't sent spy planes or nothing. Nobody can. They were just like,
Mr. President, what do you want me to do? I'm on hole 8. Give me a minute.
He's out in some bunker, man. He's out in some bunker somewhere.
Probably.
Or like he's in Florida, and he's like, oh, a nuke went off in New York? Was it supposed to?
No. Was it supposed to? Look. Like,
was it supposed to?
Fertilizer can't melt steel beams. All right, we're off the rails here. Boy. Let's get a little bit back on track, but not too far back on track. Basically, she says she's not as civic-minded as him, so she's not going to do it. And he says, I hope you end up on the right side of things. And I hate everyone who uses this phrase. Because everyone says, like, be on the right side of history. Fuck you with your right side of history. Like, well, do your own thing, and yeah. Then I'll do my own thing, and hopefully the right side will be whatever happens. Yeah, stop saying
like,
that.
Yeah, because, like, the right side of history, it's almost like you're trying to guess what people will think about what you did now. Say 50 to 70 years from now.
Well, history
it's
is
like, it's like that doesn't.
And usually you're dead, so you don't know the difference anyway.
Yeah. Everything's a compromise. Like, you can't, there's no right or wrong. Like,
Except vampires. If vampires try to take over now, kill all of them.
Making a law that, like, everyone gets to swim for 5 minutes a day doesn't really behoove people who don't have arms and legs. So, like,
you're. They can float, though. They can float.
I'm not even going to. I was about to do something, but I'm not going to do it.
We all float down here. Yeah. Join us. Stephen King's It coming out soon.
Can't wait
for that. I'm just saying, like, I hate that saying, so yeah. I'm glad they're making at least the Nazi side be saying it in this one. Somebody's crying in the bathroom. We find out that it's Rosario. She had a miscarriage or something. She's bleeding, asks for help from Dutch. So Dutch is like, oh yeah, let me help you, because whenever I help people, it really turns out great. Remember my girlfriend? All right, so she's walking around the back rooms, meets up with Jeremy, puts her in the jizz cooler, and then everything's about to be bone.
Everything is fine.
Here, you got your little catheter that you can breathe through.
She's like, I can't do it.
I can't do it. Let me just bust out of here and then hit the cooler into a bunch of stuff, alert the orderly, who looks like she's going to get a really terrible
dumb
death.
Dumb people, man.
Dude, the orderly's going to get a really terrible death. Orderlies just evoke hatred.
Yeah, because orderlies are always the ones doing, like, the most, like, bad.
Messed up stuff, yeah.
So it's like, you know, like, the main doctor lady, oh, you know she's due for a really good death.
It's like a red shirt.
Yeah.
No, it's more like movies just portray, whenever you have orderlies, you always have the one head orderly who's like this really gaunt-looking woman who just looks like a really mean person. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, you got K-Pax, you got, name any movie, and it's always like...
It's that lady that you're like, oh, you need to die so good.
And
you need one of those,
you hate
decapitation
so much.
Deaths.
I will say, though, that Zoolander actually had Happy Gilmore had Ben Stiller being the orderly, which was always fun. But again, the orderlies are always villainous in movies when you're on the side of the people being kept there.
Gilmore? Interesting.
Happy Gilmore, Ben Stiller, he's the guy who got thrown out of the window.
It's been such a long time. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Well,
you will not make this putt.
Now I need to go watch
You will not make this putt.
You jackass. Scenes from the next episode, Ephraim's poisoning stuff, and that's kind of it.
Yeah.
They're planning their thing.
Oh, boy. At least Zach wasn't here. We did get to see that Dutch still has skills. Gus still has skills.
Do you feel sorry for Jeremy? Like, he's just doing his job, but, like, he's doing some messed up stuff.
Here's the thing that worries me about... They got to kill him. They're going to kill him. They're most likely going
to
kill him.
I mean, I think for a viewer, from a viewer standpoint, they're never going to show us what happens to him. Nah. It's more impactful that he just gets dragged away. Maybe they'll like see his like dead body like
later on.
It'll be like Eric Cartman with Scott Tenorman's pants. The pregnant women are eating chili, and suddenly like Jeremy's face pops up in the bowl.
Yeah, you'll see him like, you know.
Yeah, next time we see him, he'll be a Strigoi. Yeah. Yeah.
You do the voice. You do the sound effect much better than I.
No, it's.
He sort of deserves it though, so it's okay.
No, weird voices. He's kind of a dick. I don't.
Yeah, he kind of deserves it.
Yeah, I mean, he's the one who said that he would break her out. So like.
Yeah, and then he wants to. You don't Welsh on a deal, okay? You just don't do it.
Yeah. So,
like, hey, well, no. You know why? It's because he's like a short little ginger guy. Don't ever trust a short little ginger guy to get manly things done.
Unless you're eating sushi and you have a short little wasabi guy with you.
That made no sense.
He's like, short little wasabi guy with you.
I'm so sorry. And a short little pickled guy. So, welcome to the Strain Logic episode 2. Children. So we're gonna do this. We did this last week. If you guys didn't watch the show last week, you can also watch it. I've been peeling this off as its own segment and posting it as its own thing. Last week we covered tight spaces, Strigoi holes, as they are aptly named on the video. We've all gotten into some Strigoi holes in the past. Thumbs up. We're probably going to wrap out with this. So again, you guys can follow me on Twitter at Stephen Lemieux, STPHENLEMIEUX. Where can we find you guys?
You guys can follow me on all social media at Rick Hong, RICKHONG.
And you can find me at One Youngster, which is ONEYOUNGSTA.
Cool. So this is welcome to the Strain Logic episode 2. These are little skits that we've written, but we didn't want to film them because we're lazy. So we have our narrator, Mark Donica, in the booth at Mark B. Donica on Twitter. Is he there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm just waiting.
Oh, he's
for
definitely
the intro.
There.
Here, go ahead and turn your mic up a little bit so we can hear you better.
How's that? Is that a little bit better?
That's better.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
These are set in the world of the Strain. We are kind of playing main characters in some respect, but like, so in this case, I'm basically Ephraim, but it's just me, but I still have a son named Zach. So just not confuse you guys. Rick Hong is playing the role of Rick, who died last episode.
And, I'm like Kenny, man.
And, Michael Young is playing the role of Michael, who did not die last episode.
No, I did not.
You bastards.
Because of Strain Logic and plot armor. So we are good to go. This is the Strain Logic episode 2, Children.
Michael and Rick are sitting on a couch asleep. Rick's head is bandaged. Steven enters.
Guys, get up. Zach's gone.
What?
Yeah, what do you mean gone?
He was in his room doing normal kid stuff with a normal kid pet, talking about normal kid complaints and causing the death of our friends like normal kids do 1 second, and I turn around for like 10 hours, and suddenly he's gone.
10 hours?
Wait, he killed who?
My fuck buddy, but that's beside the point. He's gone.
Wait, he's gone like gone gone. Like, the worst character in this show is gone like... like, not coming back. Like, possibly dead? That kind of gone?
You owe me $10.
Guys, this is absolutely serious. He's my son.
Yeah, but your son's a dick.
Yeah, Steven. I know you're the head of the CDC and all that, but haven't you noticed before we got your son back the first time, our group had, like, 15 people?
Yeah, now we have 4. Well, I guess 3 without Satan.
Who's Satan?
Sorry, I'm in Zach.
Guys, I'm not kidding. I know he caused Nora's death. I know he's an asshole. I know that he does the dumbest shit. I know that he set off a nuke. I know that he's been recast once already. I know that he has a previously blind kid as a pet. And now a little Latina maid who's technically a sex slave, but we don't have to go into that. And that he's the worst part of the show. But he's still my son.
My friend from the zoo told me he killed a damn tiger, too. Straight up assault rifle. What kind of kid does that?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's illegal. Even with all this crap that's going down. Look, Steven, all 6 other times we chased after Zach, I backed you up. Even that time we crawled through the hole and Rick died, I backed you up.
Yeah, I fucking died, Steven. If it wasn't for the writers finding out the new guy was only half Asian, I wouldn't even be here right now.
Yeah, but as I was saying, we've had your back. But Zach is what we like to call... he's a piece of shit.
Are you serious right now? He's my son.
No, your son died after season 1.
Yeah, Ben Hyland. Now that kid was cool. Your new son, he's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Guys, if you guys aren't going to help, then you can just stay here.
Okay, we'll do that.
Steven walks to the door.
Fuck you guys.
Steven opens the front door to see Michael Sarah.
Who the fuck are you?
Steven, looking down at a script suddenly in his hands.
Oh my god, it's Zach! Hey guys, Zach's back, and he's like 5 years older than before, just like last time!
God damn it.
Oh wow, you guys, come meet my son's new pet!
2 hours later, we see a shot of Rick and Michael on the ground covered in gray goop and white worms.
And that's episode 2, guys.
See what happens on episode 3
of The Strain Logic.
That's good.
Let's just say children don't get you very far in a post-apocalyptical R. Kelly Holocaust Strigoi and white privilege allegory world written by Guillermo del Toro.
Especially if they look like
Chuck Hogan.
Yeah, Chuck Hogan. Especially if they look like little teen douches. And yes, teens can be douches. All right, I was in high school.
Yes, they can. Where can we find you guys on Twitter yet again?
You can find me at One Youngster, which is O-N-E-Y-O-U-N-G-S-T-A.
You guys can find me on all social media at Rick Hong, R-I-C-K-H-O-N-G.
And you guys can find me on Twitter at Stephen Lemieux, S-T-P-H-E-N-L-E-M-I-U-X. Please comment after the video ends so we can reply to your comments. I haven't written the next episode of Strain Logic yet. So if you guys have a topic that you think would be good, shoot it in the comments, tweet it at us, let us know. Because I want to know what you guys think is the absurdities of this show. Maybe next episode will be blowing up buses, or perhaps hiding books, or chasing down books, or not being able to find that one book at the library that you really need. Or perhaps naming your kids Cream. What? All right, we will be back for next episode, season 4, episode 3 of The Strain. We will see you guys next Sunday at 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time live and on iTunes. Cheers!
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
No, it's just a little bump and grind.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.